Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
I'm Emily Winter, a writer, comedian, and your host of Comedians with Ghost Stories. Today on the show, a comedian who's had supernatural experiences. Mm-hmm. Please welcome John Rosenberger.
Thank you.
This happened in Tucson?
Tucson, Arizona.
And how old are you?
I am, well, so I started, this is at a place called the Hotel Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I started working there in the spring of 2000, so that would have made me 19 when I started working there.
Were you in college at the time?
Yeah, at the University of Arizona.
Okay.
So, Hotel Tucson in general is a very, I have a theory that the Southwest is a very ghost friendly place.
It feels like that.
Yeah. And Tucson, I think, is a big place for that. The Hotel Congress is a very ghost centric place because it's right by where the train station is. So there are a lot of transients who came and then just would like stay there. And then when they died, their spirits would stay there. And one of those transients was this guy named Vince Zuda. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. S-Z-U-D-A.
Mm-hmm.
And he got off the train once in 1965. And he just stayed in a hotel room there until he died in 2001.
Oh, my God.
And he...
How do people afford that?
Well, he afforded it because he worked out a deal where he would also be their kind of... They have, obviously, since it's a hotel, you have like some kind of maintenance staff,
mm-hmm.
but then he also would be their kind of like ad hoc handyman,
mm-hmm.
and he would fix stuff for them when they needed stuff fixing and stuff like that. So he basically paid the same price for 36 years,
wow.
which is amazing.
That is amazing rent control.
Rent control. A lot of the people I work with had known him a lot longer because obviously they had been there a lot longer. He died in 2001, in February 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So I had only been working there at that point probably 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he was known for when he was living is that he would use, instead of using a screwdriver, he was a big fan of just like stealing a butter knife off of a dinner table and using that to screw stuff in and screw stuff out.
Amazing.
And
was he like a funny dude? Did he have like a reputation for being having some sort of personality?
He was like a barfly kind of dude.
Oh, my type of dude.
Okay. Yeah, he was awesome. But he was nice. He was a kindly old man, but he wasn't like a character per se.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like a mainstay. He's not the kind of person where people would be like, "Oh, that's Vince." It was just more like a, "Oh yeah, that's Vince over there." Like that, he was just always there.
Okay.
So he, I come in one day, everybody's very somber. I'm like, what's happening? Nobody will really tell me what's happening. I see them wheel a gurney out of the elevator. I'm like, somebody died? Who died? Nobody will tell me anything. And then they tell me Vince died. So I work there. He lived in room 220. I worked there for about 6 months. They kept the room cordoned off. He died in the room. They have to, obviously, like in an apartment or anything like that, if somebody dies in there, they have to do a lot of deep cleaning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they opened the room back up.
Were they really sad when he died, or they were just like...
Management was sad because
yeah.
he was... Anybody who had known him for any period of time was very sad. The thing about any kind of hospitality in a college town is that you have your mainstays who are people who have been there forever and work there forever, and then
mm-hmm.
you also have a lot of turnover because a lot of college kids work there. So the people who knew him were very sad. The people who didn't know him didn't care.
Okay. Makes sense.
I was sad not because I knew him terribly well, but because I understood that he was like a cultural touchstone there, and it's always sad to see something like that and go away.
Yeah.
But so he stops, or they open the room back up eventually, and
room 220,
one of three haunted rooms on the second floor.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, you're gonna have to tell me about those other ones.
So the first tenant who's in there, he calls down one day and he's like, the lights aren't working. They're the kind of lights that have the what's it called, the overhead lights work, but like the desk lamp that has the turn thing doesn't work. He calls down. We're like, we'll get somebody up there as soon as we can. Somebody goes up there and he's like, it's the weirdest thing. It's working. Yeah, I swear to God, I wasn't fucking with you guys. I know how to work this lamp. It didn't work. Now it works. I don't know what's happening. So they're like, whatever. They go downstairs again. He calls back the next night. He's like, it's not working again.
Oh my God.
And they go back up and it's working. And they're like, well, maybe there's something wrong with like the outlet or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they pull the nightstand out from the table and there's just a butter knife sitting back there. And they're like, oh fuck. And this is a room that has previously been deep cleaned.
I was just going to say, so because, like that would have been pulled out.
Yeah, they would have pulled that out. Apparently he had died in bed. So like the nightstand's right next to the bed. There's no reason why they wouldn't have pulled that nightstand out and like cleaned back there. I don't know if there was blood or whatever, but I assume that they would have done that. So throughout the next year and a half that I'm working there, this tends to be a pattern, not just in that room, but in other places where Vince would hang out.
Oh my God.
Things that work would stop working, start working again, and then you would find a knife around there.
Oh my God, always a butter knife?
Always a butter knife.
What other spots did this happen in?
The payphone. The jukebox.
Oh my God.
He was a jukebox bully too. Like, so,
oh,
like,
really?
That definitely is like that one to me was the one that made the most sense, because I was like, that's his jukebox.
Right.
You know, that's why he's fucking with you, is because you're doing something that he doesn't
you
like.
Put on Britney Spears. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to hear some like Hank Williams III bullshit, and you're putting on Britney Spears, you're putting on whatever pop
I
rock.
Try to think what terrible things are in 2001.
Yeah,
and like rap rock.
Rap rock, yeah, like Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, just like
no trash and Kid Rock on this podcast.
Are you a Kid Rock fan?
It's like my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. I like love Kid Rock. I mean, I'm a mm-hmm. liberal person, and it doesn't make any sense. I'm a feminist. Yeah. Anyway, back to the story.
So there
was always a butter knife. So mm-hmm. it was it the same butter knife every time?
Well,
or
I mean,
just like from the kitchen.
It's from the kitchen,
right?
So I can't say for sure it is like the same exact butter
right.
knife, but it is definitely one of the Hotel Congress's butter knives.
So do you think that he was breaking stuff and then fixing stuff?
I think he was. Fix it. I think that when you fix stuff the way he fixed stuff, it breaks again very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he would break it just to fix it, but I think that the way he fixes things, it stops working again very quickly. And he's like, and he even from the grave is like proud enough of his handiwork that he's like not willing to like be like, well, I can't let them think I'm a bad handyman. I gotta make sure this keeps working.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, he was a sweet dude.
So what happens? So this happens for like 6 more months.
And then I quit.
And then you quit. So
it
for
could
all you
still
know,
be happening.
Why did you quit? Because you were scared of the ghost?
No, I quit because I quit because I got into a fight with management over whether or not I was allowed to go home over the summer.
Oh, okay. Yep. I feel like that is a common college mm-hmm. thing. Wow. So is there any other Vince? And you mentioned that there was other haunted
There's
rooms.
There's room 219, which is the room next door.
Why do you think this particular hotel is so haunted? Because it's so old?
I think it's because it's old. I think it burnt down and then was rebuilt. So there's residual stuff from there. Like I said, it's right next to the train station. So I think that a lot of lost souls, both literally both people who are just like wayward and then also wayward people when they die don't have a place to necessarily have their soul gravitate to. So it's probably right by the place that they died nearest. And I'm sure a lot of the spirits are like hobo spirits who maybe got run over by a train or something like that.
Like have, yeah.
So this is like where they go.
Unresolved issues.
Unresolved issues. There were some suicides in there that I'm, so they're like, there's a suicide room.
Where the suicide room. Oh, when I get my mansion, you know.
That's just the kind of room where I think when it comes to stuff like suicide rooms and whatnot, I'm always a little wary over what's really supernatural and what's just coincidence that maybe two or three people killed themselves in the same room. But then you're like,
So you had there was a room in there that like two or three people killed themselves in?
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta think that's not coincidence.
I gotta think it's not coincidence. And it's weird. It's a weird looking room. I've never been inside that room.
Uh-huh.
But it is built the same as every other room. But if you look at it down the hallway, it looks like it's at an angle, and that's weird. Like that, like a 15-degree, like the door looks like it's kind of like at a 15-degree angle.
Like open a little?
No, like tilted.
Whoa.
And then there's the room next to Vince's room that keeps locking the bathroom from the inside.
Holy smokes. So so did you never go in the suicide room out of like
that
nerves?
One I never went into because I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared.
I'd be scared too.
When people tell you that a thing is called the suicide room, you're like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't go in there. Even if you don't believe in ghosts, you're like, I might not believe in ghosts, but I'm going to avoid the suicide room.
Yeah. Did you ever have... first of all, do you know what year this hotel was opened?
1919.
Okay. And then did you ever have an experience... Did you have any of the butter knife experiences or any of the...
I had the bathroom experience.
Oh, tell me about that.
So we get a call. Hey, I can't get in. The bathroom door's locked. Can you bring up the key to unlock it? Well, we don't have a key. So I went up there and basically credit carded the door open. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, yeah, everything's fine.
Is this in the room next to...
This is in room 219. Okay. Vince is in room 220.
Yeah.
I'm like, everything's fine. I'm talking to the lady. I'm like, see, you know, just make sure that... I do the thing that I don't feel great about, which is I immediately condescend. And I'm just like... Hey, make sure you don't leave the door locked when you close the bathroom door.
Well, yeah, you're not going to assume it's a ghost, you right. know?
But as I'm doing that, the door closes again, and then it locks again.
In front of you and this woman?
Behind me, but there's clearly nobody else in the room.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry for talking down to you.
You said that.
Yeah. I was like, this is clearly not something you did. I'm very sorry about this.
Had you heard of that happening before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But oh, I always gosh. Was just like...
What was this woman's reaction?
She then took the opportunity to condescend to me. I was like, see, I told you that this is how this happened. Because in my mind, I'm like, that bar is famous for... Well, the bar downstairs is famous for being a pretty raucous bar.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, and I've heard stories about this people saying that this bathroom locks on its own. But in my head, I'm like, people are shit-faced. They just closed the door. They forgot that they had left it locked.
Been there.
And so I had heard stories about it before, but I had never believed those stories.
Until you saw it for yourself.
Until I saw it for myself. Mm-hmm.
Did having this job change how your belief in ghosts or change how you feel about supernatural things?
Yes. It made me believe that there is... I've always believed in a kind of, I guess, what you might call like a scientific approach to ghosts.
Which what does is that like mean?
Energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It just exists.
Okay, yes. So like, where does the energy go?
So where does the energy go? Right. But I never believed in like... real ghosts. I was just like, oh, when we die, we just have this energy that's in the universe, and it just perpetuates. Maybe it creates things that happen, but they're not like a ghost. They're not like a person is doing something. There's no intentionality to it. Before working there, I never believed there was any intentionality to the way that the energy of the dead kind of interacts with the energy of the living, and that changed working there.
Amazing. So now you, like, if somebody says something's haunted, you're like, yeah, I could see there being...
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I was always fascinated by it when I was young. Like, I went home recently, and I was looking through my old books, and I have all these books about haunted spaces and stuff like that. But I always kind of read it as metafiction, as, like, or, like, I guess what you would call historical fiction, which is, like, the events are fictitious, but they're based around other real events.
Okay, yes.
But now having had this experience and then reading back through those books, it's like, oh no, this all makes sense. These are real ghosts.
Have you had any haunted experiences since then?
I think I have a haunted experience now.
What?
I think that my current cat is playing with the ghost of my dead cat.
Oh my gosh, say more. This sounds like such a cat thing.
Well, I think sometimes it's playing with it and sometimes it's possessed by it.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes...
What's your current cat's name?
Grandpa.
Grandpa. And what was your...
Julius.
Julius. Okay.
Sometimes the cat will go into the bathroom. I think the... I have told your husband this, and I am well aware of how ridiculous it sounds, but I'm pretty sure that my toilet is the portal.
I feel like this is now an episode of Rick and Morty.
sometimes my cat... will just be looking off and then start chasing and, like, trying to wrestle with something that's not there.
Oh, wow.
And then other times, my cat will go into the bathroom and stare into the toilet for, like, 10 to 15 seconds and then come out and start just behaving exactly like Julius did, except when Julius was living there, he was, like, an old man cat, and grandpa's a little kitten and a girl, and like, but she'll like sit in the exact same positions he used to sit in and like go to his favorite spaces and just like hang out. And her personality changes completely. She's a very scaredy cat when she is herself, but other times she's a very personable cat and like a lap cat
after
she stared in the toilet.
Oh my god, I love this, actually. Yeah. I'm really into it.
Would you
ever get, like, a cat...
exorcism?
Well, I mean, would you even want... It's kind of nice that she has somebody to play with.
Exactly. She has somebody to play with. And it's not, like... I don't have to clean up any extra cat poop.
Yeah, you have an invisible cat.
I have an invisible cat.
But would you ever want, like, some medium to tell you if there was a cat... spirit in there? I mean, it's so hard because you can't really get a definitive answer, but I
would only want a medium if I knew that it was going to be an affirmative response. I would not want to bring a medium into my house and have them be like, no, cats just act this way.
Yeah.
Like, I firmly believe that Julius is still there because he died there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I do think now that spirits remain where they were most comfortable, usually is where they passed away. So I wouldn't want to have that belief dashed. And I
right. Why do you think it's the toilet? I mean, like was the toilet a special place for Julius?
No. But it's just a weird thing that I can't explain, because there's nothing that the cat does in the toilet.
Right.
Like, it'd be one thing if the cat was like, oh, sometimes she drinks out of the toilet or whatnot, but she just goes and stares in it for like 10 to 15 seconds and then comes out acting completely different.
That's wild.
It's insane.
Dude.
It's insane.
Listeners, if you have any information about this or have had similar experiences, I want to know.
I would love to hear about it.
Please reach out and tell us.
Do you have any spirit stories?
No, that's why I'm doing this podcast, and I'm so obsessed. I just listened to a ghost story called The Thin Place, where The Thin Place, which is either a place where a person can be thin as far as like seeing to other worlds or whatever.
Interesting.
And I love that concept, and I think I'm a particularly thick place.
That makes sense.
Like, you know how people are like, I'm an old soul. Like, I'm definitely a young soul. Like, I got nothing. I'm like a blank, boring ass slate. And that's why I'm obsessed with other people's stories.
Do you ever project ghost things?
Like, think things are ghosts?
Like, one thing that I always laugh about is when we were working at Congress, because there were like legitimate ghost things, then other things would be attributed to ghosts that were clearly not. Like this what? One lady was like, I poured a shot of liquor for this guy and he walked away, and then throughout the day the shot of liquor just slowly disappeared. I was like, yeah, we're in the desert, that's evaporation. Like, that it's 115 degrees outside. That's just liquor slowly burning off.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah, we were, Chris and I, my husband and I, were staying in a old house upstate over the weekend. And so every, like, any creek goes like, the ghosts are here. Oh, yeah. You know? But here in Brooklyn, I just mostly think I'm about to be murdered by
a real alive
humans. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to think that all the time with a house that I grew up in Massachusetts, because it was like an old wood house, and because of that, sound carries a lot.
Yeah.
And we had a rocking chair downstairs that if you rocked in it, it sounded like there were foots creaking upstairs.
Oh my God.
And I would never, ever put the two of those together until like 10 minutes of freaking out. So like I would clearly see my sister sit in the chair and start rocking back and forth, and then immediately forget about that, and then hear stuff creaking through the ceiling. I'm like, who's upstairs? There's a ghost.
Because it's fun, because you want to believe, but
you want to be scared.
Yeah. It's like a drug. But it doesn't kill you. Usually. The question, because this is Comedians with Ghost Stories, is what do you think is the scariest thing happening in comedy right now?
The scariest thing happening in comedy right now? Figure out the most diplomatic way to phrase this. It's the fact that you don't know who has shitty takes. It's the fact that, like, you can have somebody who you're like, I think this is a great person, I think they're on the right side of a lot of things, and then like a piece of media or something will come out that is objectively garbage or deliberately edgelordy or offensive, and they will come out and defend that, and then you're like, do I have to reevaluate my entire relationship with this person?
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Good answer. Yeah. So please tell us where we can find you on the internet, John Rosenberger, and tell me one thing that's coming up or something that you've done in comedy that you're proud of.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at JohnJohnPhenom. You can find me on Instagram at JohnJohnsAPhenomenon. Something I'm proud of is your husband and I for a long time worked on a podcast that is very adjacent to this, that is about death and mourning and stuff like that. And I really think that that was a wonderful show. I think it's currently on hiatus, but it may come back at some point.
Yeah.
It's called Morning Coffee. I think that should be checked out. Part of the Brain Machine Network.
Which we're on as well.
We're on the Brain Machine Network.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then something that's active, I guess, is a podcast that I'm currently working on called Significant Others with comedians Mara Wiles and
the Jane. The wonderful Mara Wiles and the wonderful Jane Harrison.
And that's about couples of note throughout history.
Oh, cool. History podcast. Love it. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this
thank
podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
This is great. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I really hope you liked it. I'm obsessed with these stories and these people. If you enjoyed it, you maybe should come to our live show. We're doing a live show of Comedians with Ghost Stories on Halloween night at 9:30 at Caveat. You can go to caveat.nyc to get a ticket. Also, if you enjoyed this, you can kick us a couple bucks. Just Venmo me at Emily-Winter. What that does is it helps pay for my Podomatic Pro account, which is a little pricey, and I need it for all the downloads. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. I really do
appreciate it. You can find me, Emily Winter, at emilywintercomedy.com and on Instagram and Twitter at Emily McWinter. That's Emily MC Winter because my middle name is McKenna. Anyway, keep listening. I hope you liked it. Have a great day. Oh my gosh. That was a dumb ending. Okay. But like, okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh boy.